CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. Our guest today is Dr. Shane Lopez, the world preeminent expert on hope and the author of Making Hope Happen. His website is hopemonger.com. I'm Cassandra from CBS Sky Radio. And also, while you're on the internet checking out his website, check out CJ's website. It's fireitupwithcj.com. You can also find her on Facebook. It's the same thing, Fired Up with CJ. And I'm going to go right back to CJ and Dr. Shane Lopez.
Hey, welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. I'm CJ Liu, and we've been talking about hope, laughter, and sleep, and how they're the keys to happiness. And it's so interesting. I read tons and tons of books, and so many theories: gratitude, manifestation, positive thinking, meditation, yoga. These are all the things that I need to do to be happy. I have a really long list. I'm very busy doing all these things, being grateful, meditating. Now you've just added another thing onto my list. I have to be hopeful.
Hard work along with happiness. It is. It takes dedication.
I know. It's work, right? So here's what I find so interesting. So many things that hope is correlated with. I guess I don't know if I'm using the right words, but mm-hmm. happiness, higher productivity at school and work, better health, and living longer.
Mm-hmm.
It seems pretty convincing.
Yeah, we've done about 100 different studies across different domains and found, you know, that it's hard to be happy without being hopeful, and it's hard to be truly productive at the height of your productivity without being hopeful. And then finally, we found that hope gives us a few more years to life.
Yeah, when I was reading this, when I was reading your research, I'm like, oh, really? Like, hope does all these things? And I thought the next thing he'll tell me is it will help me lose weight. And then I read the chapter, like, it does improve your health.
It does
everything. Hope is the answer to everything.
It's so basic, though. I mean, thinking about the future is a natural state of human beings.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We think about the future. And the folks who are hopeful do it really well, and the folks who are not hopeful don't know how to do it really well. So it's really just capitalizing on kind of that natural state of being human. And when we do that, we're able to be at our best.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm reading a book, and I'm reading all these benefits, and I'm thinking, I'm hopeful. I think I'm hopeful. What is the definition of hopeful? Am I hopeful?
Yeah. Hope is kind of a twofold belief. It's the belief that the future will be better than the present. So that's the first belief. Mm-hmm. And the belief that you have the power to make it so. Mm-hmm. And let me break that down a little bit. So optimism is half of hope. It's that first belief that the future will be better than the present. Mm-hmm. And that belief alone has some benefits. But then believing that you're kind of the superhero in your own story, you're kind of the protagonist in your own adventure, mm-hmm. that's the other part of hope, believing that you can influence the future in a small but important way is the other half of hope that really makes it really powerful. And that's the part, you know, that people struggle with. Most people on the planet believe the future will be better than the present.
Mm-hmm.
But only about half the people on the planet believe they have some power to make it so, some way to determine a small chunk of their future.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, so I've seen some, I think it was NLP, that talk about people seeing the world in a negative way or a positive way. And I got the mm-hmm. impression that it was half and half, but I guess you're saying most people are optimistic.
No, we did a study, you know, through Gallup. We do these amazing polls around the world, and we basically ask people how they see themselves and how they see their lives. And what we found is that 89% of people on the planet, so these are random representative samples of people in 162 countries. So these people around the world, 89% of them believe the future will be as good or better than their personal future. So
mm-hmm.
most people are optimistic. The challenge then is to combine that belief with this belief that you have some power to make it happen. And what I mean by power, it's not just metaphysical power. It's really this belief that I can influence. I have the agency to influence my life, and I also have some good ideas, some pathways for making good things happen in my life. You put all that together, and then half the people in the world are hopeful.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because one of the things that you said in the first segment was part of your intention writing the book, Making Hope Happen, was so that people understood the second part, because manifestation, you know, the secret, wishing, just thinking positively is really the only half of the equation. And I think that that was a really important point. Because I've worked with so many people who want, and they're like, I don't understand. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Well, nothing.
Well, they often say, I'm thinking positively. Yeah. I'm surrounding myself with positive people. You know, that's a good start, but it can undermine your hope to an extent, because if you're not seeing daily progress, if you're not holding yourself accountable, if you're not coming up with creative solutions to hard problems in your everyday life, then you're going to stay exactly where you are. And then you're going to say, well, being positive doesn't work. Well, being positive is only half, and it doesn't work as well as it could or should. If you don't attach that agentic thinking, and that stuff's not as sexy. I have to tell you, CJ, you know, telling people that you have to kind of trade in beliefs that the future will work out just fine for a belief that I have to get into the game every day and control that little bit of the future that I can. You know, people are like, ooh, wait, that's not what I signed up for. It's much harder to be hopeful than it is to be wishful.
I actually think it's probably, honestly, having done the manifestation techniques, I think it's hard to do both, frankly. I think it's easy to dream. I think it's easy to dream and fantasize. I think to really get all of your body energy in tune and moving one direction, which is, I think, what manifestation is, and in some parts of what I think people talk as wishing, is hard work, because there's lots of yourself, parts of yourself that aren't necessarily oriented and aiming at one direction. So I don't know. I think it's probably both are hard. But not to give up hope.
I think you're right, though. You have to edit your life in such a way, and your thinking in such a way, that you have to become much more focused to start out with.
Yeah. But I do think you raise a good point, because I think that just wishing things and manifesting things, which that was one thing I watched The Secret, and I was like, really? So I'm trying to get a, you know, Cartier watch or whatever the idea is, and I'll just like sit there praying and wishing and wishing. It's like, well, why don't you actually go work, earn money, and then buy the Cartier watch? Like, just sitting on your couch. I don't know. That movie, there was parts of it that were extremely fascinating and parts of it that were extremely irritating. Okay, so I did the test, and here's the thing that I was kind of sad. I thought, wow, you said rate yourself out of a scale of 1 to 10 on how happy you are. And I thought, I'm a 10. Like, I'm like 9 or 10. I'm pretty happy right now. And then I thought, okay, 5 years from now, where would you be? Which is your question. And I thought, oh, I don't know, like maybe a 7. And I thought, I guess I'm not hopeful. Why did my number go down? Am I part of this 10%? I don't know. You know, when I was thinking, I thought, oh, my kids will be gone, and I'll just be so sad once they're gone. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, am I a half-empty person? I didn't think I was. But, you know, what happens for these 10% of the people, roughly 10% or 9% of the people or 11% of the people who weren't optimistic, or, you know, they kind of look at the world and go, God, you know, the planet is getting destroyed. What should we do, these people? And I'm like that. You know, there are times when I feel that way, not hopeful.
Oh, I think there are times when we all feel that way. Even the most hopeful people among us have those days when they have, you know, they cast a lot of doubt and wonder, you know, what will the world become over time. But most of us who are hopeful are able to rally, and one secret to that is, you know, not surrounding yourself with positive people per se, but surrounding yourself with hopeful people. So in other words, if you think you're typically a hopeful person, but you think, you know, after your kids leave, gosh, I'm going to be so sad. Well, I bet you have some friends who are empty nesters now and are just loving life and visiting their kids all over the world and making the best of this new reality for themselves. So spending time with those parents and saying, gosh, how did you make the transition, and how did you deal with the longing for having your kids around every day? That could teach you how to be hopeful in that new situation.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we struggle sometimes as hopeful people to maintain that hope, and then there's the 11% of us that struggle with optimism in general. But what I tell people is if you can find the most hopeful person in your life and spend time with him or her and figure out how they deal with those challenges, how they deal with their concerns about big issues like global warming or economic crises, how do they deal with the big stuff and how do they deal with the small stuff, and then start acting like them. That's a huge key to learning how to be hopeful or kind of rallying when you're feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A couple weeks ago, I interviewed Richard Bandler, and all he did was he looked at behavior. He was trying to figure out how do successful people who do X, whether it was an astronaut or a he started with behavioral psychologists, and it really was interesting because he just went around, he's a mathematician, and he just thought, well, what are they doing? What are they doing that leads to success? And I think that that's, and I think it's a great idea of saying, okay, what are they doing? How are they acting? And what happens if I try on that behavior? Do I like it? Does it feel right? How do I adjust it so that I can become more, you know, what is it that they're doing and how can I replicate it? I think it's a great idea.
You know, I spent a day in December with Sir Ken Robinson, and he talks a lot about creativity and how to change school systems and communities and businesses. And just being with him and kind of watching how he breaks down a problem and figure out how he comes up with a solution, that gave me a little more hope for dealing with the big thing. So I think all of us can learn from someone else who on that given day is more hopeful than us, and that they can teach us how to get out of a pickle, out of a bind.
Yeah. So we have Dr. Shane Lopez, the world preeminent expert on hope. We're talking about hope. He wrote a book about hope. It's called Making Hope Happen. It's a really fantastic book. If you looked at my book, there'd be like little stickies all over, little stars for action items for me to do, because it's just such a wonderful book full of incredible resources. For more resources on leading happy life, make sure to go to www.firedupwithcj.com. In the next segment, we're going to be talking more about hope and some of the work that Dr. Shane Lopez has done in schools.